But one of the things that I heard this last week, getting into my message now, this is all, the rest of it was just free. This will cost you. No. But one of the things that I heard this last week was never say things that would sound like foolishness in the mouth of God. If God wouldn't say it, why would we say it? You've heard it said, you know, measure twice and cut once. How many people have not followed that rule and had to go buy more supplies? But you heard the saying, measure twice, cut once. Well, the title of my sermon is Listen Twice and Speak Once. Too many times we get ahead of ourselves. Too many times we have an idea. Too many times we have an opinion. Too many times, and we don't think what before we speak. Who's been guilty of that? I got my hand up, really, I do. But there are things that we say in life that we don't even give a second thought, and things we say all start with a thought. But a lot of times we don't even think of it. It comes to our head, we got to say it. That's one thing I've learned over the last few years. You really don't have to say everything that comes to your head. You really don't. Because a lot of times if you say what really comes to your mind, it might cause a little bit of damage. But too many times we say things that are so negative. And according to the Bible, we can have what we say. Who wants what they say? I do. Well, are you thinking about what you say before you say it? Are you thinking twice and only speaking once? I'm learning. But we say things like, I can't, or I'll never, I'll die young. I've heard that one before, heard that in my own family. I'll die young. I'm always broke. My kids never listen to me. I don't even see eye to eye with that pastor. And when you say those things, I love this, I can't, and that's the way I want it. When you say that, that's basically what you're saying. I'll never, and that's the way I want it. I'll die young, and that's just the way I want it. My grandfather died at age 63. And when my dad was approaching that age, the thought came to his mind that he would die at a similar age. Well, he didn't. He lived way past that. I haven't reached 63 yet, believe it or not. But that thought is the furthest thing from my mind. I'm going to live a long life, and I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. I choose to live a long life. I'm speaking. Well, the devil might hear you say that. That's the guy I hope hears me say that. Because he can't shake me from it. God has a call and he has a purpose for my life. And I'm going to live a long life on this earth to declare the works of the Lord. If for some reason, 25 years down the road, I'm not at Life Point anymore, which that would make me, well, it's only 85. I'd still be young. But if I'm still at 85, 25 years down the road, 85, I'll still be declaring the works of the Lord, whether I'm here or not. Because when there's a call on your life, and there is a call on each and every person's life in this room here, the mandate, there's a commission to go preach the word, to spread the gospel. Matter of fact, we stop there. But that great commission, that mandate on your life also says, you're supposed to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You're supposed to cast out demons. Ooh, okay. Or I'm always broke, and that's just the way I love it. Because when you're saying that, you're saying, that's the way I want it. You can have what you say. It said, my kids never listen to me, and that's just the way I want it. I don't see eye to eye with that pastor, and that's just the way I want it. Now, we tell our kids that we'll wash their mouths out with soap. Anybody ever wash your kid's mouth out with soap? Okay, nobody's raising their hand because it's on video, just in case you raise your hand. But I wouldn't say we've washed. I didn't. Never have I. Never have I ever. But somebody in my family stuck a bar of soap in the kid's mouth. And it cured the problem, too. But not taking our words seriously is like driving a car and not taking the steering wheel seriously. If you don't take that steering wheel seriously in the car, what's going to happen? If you don't have your hands on it, what's going to happen? You're going to crash. Where we lived out in Oklahoma on the corner of Kenosha and Aspen. I saw it again. We were just out there last week. There is always vehicle debris in the middle of this intersection. We was out there this last week. There's glass and there's broken pieces of plastic laying in this intersection. Why? Because when people go through there, they're not paying attention to how they're driving. They're just, it's just them that chances are probably on the phone. But they're not paying attention to how they're driving. And what happens? They crash right there in the middle of that intersection. If we're not paying attention to the words that are coming out of our mouth, the confessions that come out of our mouth, and they take us all these different crazy ways of the things that we just read, then we're headed for a crash. We're headed for destruction. In James chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, we all fail in many areas. So if you say you don't fail, you're lying, because we have failed. I'm not saying you guys are liars. But we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. Here, let me read this one part again. It says, we all fail in many areas, but especially with the words. Yet in the event, so it is possible to control our tongue. Now it goes on to talk about the tongue being a wildfire and destruction, you know, it's hard to tame and this and that. But it also, right before that, it talks about how you put that bit in the horse's mouth, make it go wherever you want. That small rudder, the captain uses it, makes this huge ship go different directions. They're controlling that ship with the small rudder. They're controlling that horse with this bridle in his mouth. You can control your tongue by thinking about what you say. And when you're thinking about, well, the Bible talks about think on these things, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Your thought process has to be different. Your thought process has to be in line with the Word of God. Because we can speak destructive thoughts into our lives, and we can crash in the intersection of Aspen and Kenosha. And it can be devastating. So in these things up here that I said before, I can say, you know, instead of I can't, I can say I can. And that's the way I want it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are the words to come out of our mouth. Or we can say here, I will. And it says here in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So I can. I follow the Lord's purpose, and I will accomplish whatever it is that's set before me. Go on down here to say, I have more than enough. I have enough to lend, and that's just the way I want it. And we can look at Deuteronomy. Everything that I'm saying, I'm backing it up with the Word of God. What the Word of God says about that. So we look at Deuteronomy 15, verse 6. It says, the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. You will lend money to many nations, but you will never need to borrow. You will rule many nations, but they will not rule over you. It's not to say that it's bad to borrow money to go get a car, but if we get a grip, or house, whatever it may be, we get a grip on who our provider is, and it says here that we will lend and we will never borrow, that he is our supplier, that anything we need, he already knows it. It's coming our way. We just sit there and wait. It will come our way. We may not ever have to borrow money ever again. That sounds crazy, Rick. It's the Bible. I want to be in that position. I always, matter of fact, it's so funny. Carrie gave me money. I told her, I want to start carrying money in my wallet at all times. I want to be able to walk around and say, oh, you have a need? Okay, yeah, here you go. How much you need? There it is. I want to be in that position. I want to be a lender, not a borrower. Okay, I can't get it back in my wallet, so we'll just set it. Hey, don't let me forget that. No, don't let me. Don't let me forget that. But I have more. My kids are smart. My grandkids are smart. They can do anything they set their minds to. I'm not going to say my kids are a mess. Have they gone through stuff? Yeah. But I'll put my kids up next to anybody's kids. My kids and my grandkids are smart. They can do anything. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach them? But we understand these things. Why? For we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are greater than ours. What's this say here? I have the mind of Christ. I know. How do I know what he says? How do I know how he thinks? Because I have something that tells me. I have them. This here gives me the mind of Christ. I can know what God thinks. My grandkids are smart. My granddaughter Charlie, I've told you this before. She's so funny. As I'm sitting here thinking, she was so funny. She sends me text messages that make no sense, but she does it on purpose. But anyway, walking across the deck, picks up this chair. "Charlie, do you need help?" "No, the Lord's given me strength to do this." Okay, carry the chair then. And then we go on down here, talking about, "I just don't see eye to eye with that pastor. Just can't." Well, what's it say here? Instead, we should be saying, "I have the best pastor ever, and I'm running with him. I see his vision for the church." I said from the very beginning, it's going to be about building relationships here. I said from the very beginning, it's going to be led by the Spirit here. So, relationships being led by the Spirit. Construction projects around here, they need to be done. That canopy needs to be done. We're this close, like he said, the $10,000 mark, but we're this close also to having all the money to pay for it. I don't want to borrow any money. I'm not going to borrow any money for that. I give to that building fund every single week, and I'm going to continue to, because that's what the Lord's told me to do. But construction projects, bringing my supply, what I have to offer spiritually and financially, I'm running with him, and that's just the way I want it. And if you look at the Word of God here, it says in 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, "A pastor who do their work well should be paid well and should be highly appreciated, especially to those who work hard at preaching and teaching." Most pastors won't say those words. I know a pastor who will never preach on tithing. He's told me that. He'll never preach on it. Well, you're cheating your people then. You're not preaching a full gospel. I'm not preaching, I'm not, and I will be preaching on it. I'm studying on it right now. But I'm not preaching to get all your money. I'm preaching tithing, so that, and really, tithing is the minimum. You know, it's the minimum that we're going above and beyond. But what I'm going to try to teach through tithing is I'm preaching obedience to what the Word of God has to say about it. It's so funny as far as being all in with the pastor and hooked up with where he's going. I get text messages from Dorothy, and I love it. I get phone calls from Dorothy, 104 years old. She's still text messaging, so it's fun. And the last text message that I got, and I think she may have sent it out to others also. It says, "Guess who's almost 104 years young?" She didn't say old. I believe she really believes that she has work yet to do here on this earth. I really believe that she has work that will affect people's lives here on this earth. She affects my life. When she calls me, when she texts me, she called me one time, and it was just confession after confession after confession. And then when she was done making these confessions, okay, that's all I needed, made my day. I needed it at that day, I guess. But I loved it. But then the last thing that she said here, she ended with this thing: "You're such a blessing," in her text message to me. And I'm trying to be. That's my goal, is to be a blessing to this congregation. I'm not here to get. Some pastors come in and they want all your money and they want all your time. They want all your this and that. You know, and that's all part of it, but that's not my motivation. That's not my goal. My goal is to see each and every one of you mature in the Lord and walk out their doors and be effective in your hometown, be effective in your communities, in your home, to be role models for your family. Not just somebody who, I've said it before, just goes to church. Just going to church won't get it. It doesn't cut it. It really doesn't. So yeah, we love Dorothy. So when we speak opposite of these things that I just said and these verses that I just read, what are we sowing? What are we planting? What are we thinking? What are we saying? When you plant a seed, and I'm talking about the words of your mouth, when you plant a seed, chances are something's going to grow. And don't tell me you have brown thumbs, because I live with somebody who has a brown thumb. But she's got a plant that is just thriving. I don't know how, but brown thumbs won't cut it. If we're not paying attention to what we're saying, we are planting seed. When we put somebody down, when we're constantly complaining about something, when we think things should be done one way, but the people that aren't doing it that way, and we moan and groan about it, we're planting seed. And I wrote down here, it says, and if you keep watering something with the same words, with the same water, you'll reap a great harvest in whatever you are watering. Man, if you keep saying the same thing, the same negative thing about something, and you keep fueling that with that water there, you're going to reap a harvest. The harvest that Carrie and I are reaping right now, we've put in 30 plus years of ministry where there's only one senior pastor in a church. So even if I was the associate in my former church, I'm still in the ministry of helps. But we put in so much time of our own that, and we had little ones, we drug them everywhere we went. They may not have had nursery or children's church or something. They sat on a seat. We gave them something to color. Whatever it may be, we took them wherever we went and we served. We had tent meetings up in, and I just did a podcast. We did an interview, and we're going to do some more with this guy. He's a really good friend of mine. He started out with a tent, a green tent, that they had to sew it to keep it from falling apart. And it was one of those tents. Have you ever had water gather on the tent and you touch it? What's it do? Is it going to leak right inside? He had one of those tents to where now he has a tent that will seat 1,000 people under it. He has two long trailers. One of them is living quarters, and another one is all the equipment for the tent. They haul around. They travel the country. He also has a church in Belleville, Illinois. But it was one of those things where his family went right along with him. His wife was there. His kids were there. They were there. They were bought in. They were all in. And they, you know what? They never complained about it one time. But if they would have, they would have been sowing that seed of complaint. And that seed of complaint, who wants to hang around with somebody that's always complaining? No hands. Okay, I'm glad to see that. That time it's good not to have a hand. If I'm hanging around somebody that's complaining all the time, man, I can't wait to get away from them. Or I try to take the conversation and turn it. And I've done that before. I had one guy, it was so funny. He would say something negative about somebody. I'd say, well, yeah, but, you know, when they do, they're pretty good at this over here. And he'd say something else again, and then I would turn it around once again. And finally, he got frustrated. He says, why do you keep doing that? I'm like, what are you talking about? You keep building that person up when they're not. No, that's the way I'm going to be. That's the way I'm with this church here. You'll never hear me talk bad about any of you. Nobody outside of this church will ever hear me talk bad about any of you. I'm not planting that seed. And I'm not going to water that seed. That's not the way that I see the people of Life Point Church. And that's just the way it is. And where did I learn that? I learned it from my parents and growing up and whatnot. But I've also learned it from Pastor Kim. He was our former pastor. He never spoke negatively about anybody in his church. When he would go to the ministerial meetings, there would be pastors there just moaning and groaning about their congregations. And he wouldn't do that. He would just talk, you know, and they say, what, don't you have anything wrong going on in your church? Man, he says, I got the best people in the world. I got servant-hearted people. I've got people that are backing me 100%. And that's the way I do with the people here at LifePoint. So seeds that you speak and that you plant, they all start with thoughts. So what are the thoughts that we're saying, thinking, and what are they producing in our lives? As I said over here earlier, if you're always saying that I'm broke, what are you saying? If you're always angry, what are you saying? If you're always tired, what are you saying? If you don't like what's going on in your life, pay attention to what's coming out of your mouth. Ooh. I hope we're going to leave here today thinking. Before we speak, what's coming out of our mouths? Because it produces what's in our lives. I heard these quotes by Mark Hankins. I wrote a few of them down. It says, never underestimate the power of your voice. And I think about that. I think of John the Baptist. I think of Jesus. I think of Paul. The significance of one voice. The voices of each person in this room right here is significant in the environment that you find yourself. When Carrie and I were at Rhema, and then we just went back here recently, our voices and our actions were significant to the people that we were around there. And what happened when we got there? Man, hey, Rick, what's going on? What's going on back at your church? How's things going? I said, man, and this is what I told him. Man, I got the best people ever back there. I got servant-minded people back there. If we're needing to get something done, I've got people that just want to get it done. And that's the way I spoke about the people of this church. Everybody who came to me, I said the same exact thing. Do I believe that? Sure I do, because it's happening. But even if it weren't true, I wouldn't say otherwise, because I'm not sowing that seed. I'm sowing seed of things growing, of things maturing, of things being the way that God wants them around here. Another thing he said here is, change your thoughts and your words and you'll change your world. Man, you start watching what you say around people and in the situation you find yourself at work and whatnot. Man, when I was at work at the prison, and I think I mentioned this before, but they had what they called SPIs. And their special pay increases. I got special pay increases. Why? Because I was the person that was first to help, stayed the longest, did more than what was expected, and I respected and I talked well of my supervisors, even though some of them could be challenging at times. But but I always spoke well of them. And I had one of the supervisors come to me, well, actually told other people, he said, if it weren't for Rick Medeiros, I wouldn't be where I am today. He was one that started as an officer, promoted to sergeant, lieutenant, captain, major, superintendent. When he was a superintendent, he made that statement. If it hadn't been for Rick Medeiros, I wouldn't be where I am today. Things I did, things I said, I believe helped him along the way. Another thing that he said here was the thoughts that you have, the words, and the words that give birth to them may seem of no account, but they can accomplish or destroy nearly anything. Your words can destroy nearly anything. And a lot of times we don't give thought to our words. We don't think twice and speak once. If we start thinking twice before we speak, we'll save ourselves a lot of destruction around us, a lot of damage to other in other people's lives. Last thing I had down here, he says, don't defeat yourself with your own thoughts and confessions. You can tear yourself down just by what you think and what you say. You can have what you say. If you say, I'll never, I can't, I'm poor, I'm broke, I'm this and that, you can have every single one of those things. It's a spiritual law. I had someone the other day tell me that, oh, I'm just so tired all the time. And I looked at him and said, and that's how you want it. They looked at me like, I'm just tired. No, it's just the way you want it. How do you stop being tired? Go to bed earlier. Drink lots of water. That's the key. That's the answer to everything, is drink lots of water. But when situations happen outside of our control, what are we going to do? What do we do when things happen outside of our control? Do we say this is an opportunity to see God work? Is that our thought process? To see if, okay, this is going on. I don't know what to do about it, but here's what I'm going to say. Man, this is just an opportunity to see God work. And then just sit back and let him work. He's the performer. We're not. He has to honor his word. And so I just say, okay, God, your word says this. And then I just sit back and watch. I'm going to give him an opportunity to work. But that's what's coming out of my mouth. Or do we do this? Ah! That was my impression of Home Alone. Anyway. Or you say, oh no! You know, is that our thought? Is that what comes out of our mouth? Do we immediately have the word of God coming out of our mouth? Is that what's coming to our thoughts right away? In Luke 6:45, it says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We'll put it in King Jimmy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart? If the word of God is what's on the end of your heart, what's in your heart, and you want to be led by the Spirit, then those are the things that are going to come out of your mouth. This might seem like it's an elementary message, but man, we don't even think about these things. Too many times it just, whatever pops into our head, we just say it. I used to be that person. I have a relative who is still that way. And so this person will say, she'll make a statement and say, well, it's true. I know, but you didn't have to say it like that. It'll be a little bit, you know, smooth it out just a little bit if you're going to say it. But you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. But out of the abundance of your heart, what's inside of you is what's going to come out of your mouth. What's inside of us? I think that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Is the Word of God what dominates our lives? If it does, then that's what's going to come out of your mouth. If it doesn't, it's hard telling what's going to come out of our mouths most of the time. I've reacted negatively before, believe it or not. Carrie might tell you. But anyway, I'm determined not to. But you know what? We're word people. I'm a word person. I'm a word partner with Rhema Bible Church. But matter of fact, in 2023, if you get the Word of Faith magazine, I'm on the front cover. I've got 4 copies of it. I really do. I've got 4 of them at home, and I'm bringing 1 of them here to the church, and I'll post it someplace. That would be a good idea for a photo booth. My face on the cover of Word of Faith magazine. Okay. But anyway, I'm kind of sowing things right now, aren't I? But pride, arrogance, not humility. But the words, all of life's circumstances, all of our thoughts fall under, what does the Word say? If out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks, every situation that we find ourselves in life, we should be saying, what does the Word say about it? Brother Hagin used to say that. He'd have people come to him and ask him a question. First thing he would say to him, well, what's the Word say? That's the answer. The answer to everything that we face in life, all the circumstances that we face in life, I don't care what it is. Well, I've been through this. Well, yeah, it's in the Word. It really is. We can find the answer for it in the Word of God. So filling ourselves with the Word of God, man, that will save us a bunch of headaches. That'll get us to stop and think before we speak. For too long, I've said this before, for too long we've been go-to-church Christians. Well, what does that mean? A lot of times people will go to church with no real expectation of what's going to happen when they get there. No real expectation that their lives will be changed with the Word of God. My expectation here this morning is that think twice, speak once, that we leave this place thinking, okay, I can't just say everything that comes to my head. Because everything that comes to my head, it may hurt someone. It may destroy a person's whatever it may be. I can't just say everything. I need to say to myself, okay, what does the Word of God say about this? Our lives would drastically change if we had an expectation that God has something planned for us here today. When we're coming into church this morning, is our expectation, is our thought process, okay, I'm going to church. Man, I know the Spirit of God's going to be there. From start to finish, when I meet somebody at the door, to the people I talk to the worship, to the announcements, to the offering, to the message, to the final amen, walking out the door. Man, I have an expectation that God has something for me in the midst of all that, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to look for it. I'm not going to hide in a corner. I'm not going to be shy. Man, God has something for me. Or when we're coming in this morning, Charleston Avenue may have caused us some grief this morning. When we go home now, we have to cross Charleston Avenue to get over to Shelby. Sometimes it seems like you can't get across that. And then you're sitting at the stoplight there, and the person ahead of you, you can see they're on their phone and the light's green. Beep! Carrie reaches over to push it before I do. But anyway, frustrations like that can happen on our way in here. But man, what are we going to do? If that does happen, if somebody on Charleston Avenue pulls out in front of us and we have to swerve this, man, we're over here by Casey's this morning, those green garbage barrels you put out by the road, somebody obliterated one. I mean, it is all over the road over there. Somebody wasn't paying attention to what was going on. And but things like that can happen. And that can the devil knows what pushes our buttons. Those things like that can happen. It can change our whole thought process to blah! Or we can say, you know what? Just another opportunity to see what God's got in store for me today. Man, I know I'm going to church there. I'm praying in the Spirit as I'm going to church. I'm just worshiping as I go to church. You know, and I might not even be doing it out loud. I might be doing it in my head, under my breath, whatever it may be. But man, I know God's got something good for me there this morning, and I'm going to be ready for it. Romans 12:2. It says, never stop imitating the ideals. And this is in the Passion Translation. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. And I'm looking at this passage here, and I'm saving time because I got tons of notes here. But I want to save a little time, and I want to look at this verse here. And it says here, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation. What we can say is a total alteration of how you think, a total change of how you think, a total correction of how you think, a total improvement of how you think, a total rearrangement of how you think, a total reconstruction of how you think, a total rehabilitation of how you think, and a total renovation of how you think. Man, you got to think differently. If you're not thinking differently, if you're not renewing your mind to the Word of God, because that's what's going to change your thinking. Spending time with Jesus, that's what's going to change your thinking. If those aren't the things you're doing, then there won't be a renovation in your life. There won't be a rehabilitation or a reconstruction. I want reconstruction to go on in my thinking and in my life, because I want to be more like Him. I want my thoughts to be different. I don't want to conform to this world. It says here, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. Why would it say that in the Bible? Because we are imitating the opinions and the culture of the world around us. And He's saying, stop it. Just because we think something doesn't mean we need to say it. A thought unspoken will die. But the moment we speak it, we can't retrieve it. Have you ever said something you wish you could take back? Once it's out there, it's out there. Put something on the internet and you think you delete it? No, it's still out there. Somebody can retrieve it somehow. But I just snorted. I don't know why I just did that. But in Galatians 6, it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. The words that you sow, you will reap whatever it is. If you want to reap goodness, then speak good things. Just by way of, I'm going to land this plane here in about 2 minutes. I remember I heard this story one time. First time he was a teenager, and really thought that he was going to stand up to his dad. He didn't like the house rules, and he was going to tell his dad so. And so he told his dad so. Well, in the picture, the next thing you see is the dad leaning over him like this. Okay, okay, go and wake up, wake up. Oh, there he is. He's got his... Well, you got a little ahead of yourself there, son, didn't you? Here, let me help you out. He started saying things that didn't quite set right with his dad, and there was a consequence. The things we say, there are consequences to them. And we got to watch what we say. So the devil will try to place fearful thoughts in us. And where do fearful thoughts take us? It can take us down some bad roads. I may pick this up next week. There's something else I wanted to say about it. Some more scripture here I wanted to go through. But I think that the main thing that I'm trying to get across here today, you know, it wasn't a hooting and hollering message. It wasn't, you know, swinging from the chandeliers and all those types of things. And we will, but it's not those types of things. But you know what? I think too many times we don't stop and think about what runs through our heads. We don't stop and think before we speak. We don't think twice and speak once. And it gets us into a lot of trouble. My thoughts and the things that I want to speak are, I want to speak the things that Jesus places on the inside of me. And when I do, those thoughts bring life. Those thoughts bring restoration. Those thoughts encourage somebody. Those thoughts lift somebody up from a position where they have been, they may have been sitting down here. All of a sudden, you help bring them back up, and you remind them, well, here's what the Word of God says about you. Why? Because He loves you. He cares for you. And so I think that as we leave this place here today, we think about what we think about. And we don't say everything we think about. I've had many times I could have said some things that popped in my head and they would have been true, but it also would have hurt somebody. I can't do that. So as we leave this place here today, we're going to run into situations. We're going to run into people. They're going to cause us to want to say something. Say something maybe not so nice. But you know, think about it first. Think about what Jesus would say. As I said way back here at the very beginning of my message, I said here one of the first things that I said was never say things that would sound like foolishness in the mouth of God. If Jesus wouldn't say it, why are we saying it? If He would say it, well then let's say that. And if we do, we'll see great blessing in our lives. And then let's keep watering that seed, because it's going to encourage someone else and help lift them up and bring them to a place where God wants them to be. Amen. Father, I just thank You for this message here this morning. And I thank You that it was encouraging to me to once again to remember the things that I think that I don't have to say. Reminded me to think twice and only speak once, so that I'm not leaving a trail of destruction everywhere that I go, causing people hurt, causing people pain. Father, that's not what You would do, and that's not what I want to do, and I know that's not what people here want to do, Father. We're laying ourselves before You right now to be used by You, that word that You've placed on the inside of us, Father, that those are the words that come out of our mouths, speaking only things that would give life, that would speak encouragement to those around us. Out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths will speak the goodness that only You provide. And we thank You for it.